You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
You can go ahead and be seated if you will. If you're a guest or new here, I'm Jeff Eaton. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. A little bit of a different day today. You are going to get a sermon and probably three or four of them before the day's over. But we are licensing three young men to the preaching ministry. I had told them in the early service, I sat with them in the early service. And before I left there, I turned around and go, you are all saved, right? So to make sure if we're going to license you that we need to make, and we know that they are, all three of them, Logan Smith, Logan Harvey, and Dustin Webb have all been a part of this church growing up in it, our own staff in it, one of the two. And we're grateful to them, love them. So this is their second go around. It's the first one for you. But I wanted you to see this today. Usually a service like this is a Sunday night or maybe an alternative night during the week. But I wanted you to participate on Sunday morning so that you could see what licensing is about. And you still may wonder. Licensing is us giving them the seal of approval to preach the gospel. It's just our blessing to them. It is a credential. Their next move later on will be ordination. But now it's just a blessing to go preach the gospel of Christ in an anointing, a covering, anything you want to look, seal of approval, all those things. It is what we're giving to them today. So the service is broken up into two areas or two groups. One is I give a charge to the church. That's you. And I wanted you to feel this charge. I want you to know about it. Of what we do when it comes to seeing ministers raised up within us. Today is a great picture of health. It's a sign of great health in our church. We've had two baptisms today, one earlier and then the one that you witnessed. Then we're having a licensing service of three preachers who have already preached in this church. But again, we just give them that covering or that blessing. So the charge starts with you all. Today. We're going to begin with charging the church today. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy 5:22 for just a moment. Don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder. Your version may have, don't lay hands on someone too early. And don't share the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. There's really three assignments here. Sometimes in a church, we're real quick to where we have an opening and let's just fill it. You know, let's just fill that opening. Let's just get it taken care of and just do it quickly. Now, we do need to move at the speed of Jesus. We know the Holy Spirit can move immediately and even summons us to move immediately. But one of the things it says to the church is don't lay hands on someone too early. Be patient. And you're going to see that a little later on in the verses that I give you today. Be wise. Pray it through. Think it through. And then there's a charge here to those who are in ministry. Don't share in the sins of others. Don't participate in that. This is really a setting apart for Logan and Logan and Dustin. This is a setting apart of their life. Don't get mixed up into all that's out there with the impurity of it all. And then obviously it says the last one, keep yourselves pure. And one of the things I've tried to lead young pastors in doing, whether they're in our church or another, is strive for purity. Live for things that are pure. Paul wrote in Philippians, think on things that are pure. Don't listen. I want you to listen to me, okay? Don't take the world's poison. Live in God's purity. There's power in purity. Strong power in living in the purity of our Lord and the kingdom. There's poison in the world. So really strive hard to live in that picture of purity and knowing even what you introduce your families to, what you allow into your home. And I don't mean that in a fuddy-duddy way. Our house was always a fun house, but we tried to make it a pure fun house, you know? So it becomes important for us to see this. One of the things I grew up with in my life as a young boy is the church had something called watch care. And watch care is when we started our church in 98. Goodness, I thought 88. I thought I am getting old if we started it in 88. But 1998, before we became part of Kentucky Baptist or Southern Baptist, we had to go through what's called a watch care. They wanted to see who we were. How did we conduct ourselves? And I don't have a problem with that. Even in ministry, with this part of don't be too quick to a point, or don't lay your hands on someone too early, is a picture of watch care. Let's see how they are. Let's see how they act. Don't just take their charisma and go by it. Let's see how they conduct their families. Let's see how they conduct themselves with other people. And we know these. We know these families that we are licensing today. They've been under our watch care for more than a year or a year and a half. We know them well. So we know that we can confidently license them, give them the seal of approval to go on and preach the gospel. So to begin with, in the charge to the church, I want you to look at 10:2 for just a moment. We're to pray for laborers. All of us should be a part of you. One Sunday, Andrew, our son, for Julie and me, your son in the ministry, but Andrew gave us Luke 10:2, and there are other versions in the gospel of this as well. But we set our alarm for 10:02 and let your phone go off. Obviously, you're probably going to do that in the morning realm instead of the evening realm. 10:02 to us, we're already headed to bed, you know, at our house, long before that even. But 10:02, and the alarm goes off, and it becomes a reminder to pray for laborers. The harvest was plenty back then, but the command to the church is to pray that God be calling people in the ministry. God be calling laborers with what happened in Nepal, which is horrible, with all the hundreds that have been killed. And what are they saying? Over 3,000 now missing, last I heard. 3,000 missing. And not having the infrastructure really to help where other people are coming in. I begin praying? I just would shake my head, you know. I began praying for the relief effort, for resourcing, for the recovery, all those things. I began praying for that. But in the midst of that, I'm praying, God send laborers. Call people to go in there and labor in your name and for the kingdom. We as a church, the command for us is to continue to pray for laborers. You all know in a couple years, I'm going to be fading out of here in leadership. And I hope you're already praying for the next pastor of our church. I know that I am. I want you to be praying for that. Pray. He's not going to automatically appear. He's on this earth somewhere, you know. And let's be praying for God's man and God's call to this. We pray for laborers. That's the charge to you as a church. Another charge to you as a church is 2 Corinthians 4:1. Pray that they don't lose heart. Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Julie knows this to be true. There's been times I just wanted to quit the ministry. I can go into business, do all those things, had opportunities to be able to do that. I just wanted to quit. I got tired of being a CEO over people. You really wouldn't get into ministry because you're handling so many other things. I just wanted to step out of it. And Julie knows those times very richly in our life. I know that she and others were praying that I wouldn't lose heart. Because I just want you to know, when I get 10 phone calls, 9 of them are negative. I might get one that's positive. When my phone rings, it's usually a negative. It's usually negative. It's some kind of situation that I have to handle. We very seldom hear the good news that we really crave to be able to hear. Pray that they don't lose heart is a charge to the church. Look at Joshua 1:9. Pray that they have courage. There's a charge to you as a church to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. We need to remind them that. They need to know that, and they do know that. But you and I need to pray that. God, give them courage. God, remind them of what you have done in their life. You know, pray for courage and boldness in their life. And then Acts 1:8, pray that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the world. I want you to listen, church. Listen. When you pray for the Holy Spirit to become active in our lives as ministers of the gospel, His empowerment of all of us has a worldwide effect. There are countries that I will never get to that my witness will get there through other people. Some capacity, the power of the Holy Spirit coming on us is going to affect the whole entire world. He doesn't just empower you for just that moment. He empowers you because of what He's doing in you will eventually affect the entire world. You're wondering, do you have any effect at all on people? You do when you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. It's just a ripple effect that goes through the kingdom and through the world when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So as a church, we pray for laborers. As a church, we pray that they don't lose heart. I've wanted to quit several times. We pray that they have courage and boldness out of Joshua, and we pray that Logan and Dustin are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then that empowerment will affect the world. Now, this is a charge to them. Obviously, they've been called to preach. Obviously, they're called in the ministry. They've already been preaching in this church and others, and they're already ministering. But here today, I want to remind the church and them out of Romans 11:29 that the call of God is irrevocable. The word irrevocable means it's not reversed. He doesn't take it back. You remember when you was a kid and you played take backs? You remember that for some of you who are older? He doesn't take it back. There's no reversal to it whatsoever. And the picture here is He's gifted you, and He's gifted you, empowered you, and called you for reasons. He's done this that are according to His will for your life. The picture here is also out of the Gospels, where it says, if you put your hand to the plow, you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Don't turn back and don't look back. So the call of God is irrevocable on you guys. Look at Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and what is heard, and what is heard or hearing comes through the message about Jesus Christ. And Romans 10:14 through 15 says very clearly, basically, how are they going to hear without a preacher? But how can they call on Him that they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent, which is what we're doing today? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. I want to remind you as a church about their calling and ours. And that is, we're not doing this because we can't do something else better. Some people think you end up in ministry because you just couldn't cut it in the world. I want you to know I would have been better at thousands of other things than I am this. I would have been much better, but this becomes the call of God. And even though we may fuss about preaching, He's ordained preaching in this world. He's ordained it. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? I've taught them. I've said it to you. God made preachers so you all could be mad at us. You know, people go, man, I like to hang out with you more. I go, well, who wants to hang out with a preacher? You know, who really wants to do that? But God's ordained it, and he has called to be how people are going to hear if we don't have another voice other than that worldly voice that you're hearing all the time. How are they going to know that there's another life to live if you don't have a preacher? How's that going to happen? So look at Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. They know this. This is a charge to them that the Word of God is alive and well. It's living, effective, and sharper. A one-edged sword is sharp, but a double-edged sword is even sharper, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. That's why we want you in there. We want you in the Word of God. Why? Because you need checks and balances. You need to check your life, your thoughts, your ideas, your cravings, your desires. They all need to pass through His Word to see if this is the way that I should go. Is this what I should do? It judges the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him. All things are naked and exposed to the eyes of the one we must give an account to. And I need to remind you of that. They need to remind you of that as preachers of the Word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That we're who we need to be. That we're complete in Him. They believe that about the Word of God. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 is really pointed to them. Study. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the Word of truth. Study, study, and then study again, over and over and over. Romans 1, 15 and 17. They're eager to preach. Good news to you, also those who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I know they're not. They're not ashamed of it. And we're not ashamed of you, because it's God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then also to the Greek, is they are never ashamed to give the gospel. Don't you understand, church? I know they do. That you need another voice in your life other than the ones you're getting all the time. You need a contradicting voice to the voice of the world. And you need to check it. We don't always like it when we get it, but it needs to occur. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And I know these three are not, and their wives. 1 Corinthians 1:23 to them. We preach Christ crucified. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. We preach the cross. We preach the cross. And this is something I use as a template personally. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's God's power to us who are being redeemed. The saved don't mind a sermon. Okay? They don't mind it at all. But if people think that preaching is foolish, then according to this verse, and actually this book, 1 Corinthians, then it becomes a template, an outline for me that you're perishing. The redeemed say so, and the redeemed don't mind hearing the story of the cross and the resurrection at all. But people who are perishing think it's foolish. That becomes a sign to me. If people think that the preaching of His Word is foolish, then to me, then I see that they are perishing. I know that these guys are going to preach Christ crucified. And then Acts 17:18, we're preaching not only that, but at the very end of this verse, we're telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And the picture is, all this equals, we preach Christ crucified and raised from the dead. The sacrifice and then the power. This is a personal blessing from me to them in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And in this picture is that that we're not going to stop praying for you. For this reason, since the day we've heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you in ministry. We are asking that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power. This is resurrection power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience. Didn't I tell you he's going to hear the word patience? With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. We're praying a blessing over them of strength and power and even patience. Look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you, which is what this sermon is. It's a charge to the church and it's a charge to the preachers. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom, proclaim the message, persist in it whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with, there's that phrase again, great patience and teaching. Can I just speak to that as a pastor? Sometimes you as a church may want leaders to move quicker when you need to give it some time and let the Holy Spirit work on situations and people. Did you all hear that? You need to give him the opportunity to work. I can react quick. I can be a typical guy, man, let's get it done, check it off the list, on to the next. You know, that's my tribe. But as a pastor, sometimes I have to just shut my mouth and begin praying and be patient and let the Lord work and let him work on you. Let him work on us on what to do, and then we'll figure it out together. Is this with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. And here's what I say to the something new crowd. What he's already given us will fulfill a lifetime. You know, everybody's wanting a new word, new word, new word, you know? And I'm going, he's given us his word and it's enough to fulfill my whole life. It's enough to keep me busy all my days, you know? So they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, keep a clear head, be sober about everything. Are you going to have hardships? Yes, but endure them. He will lead you through and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. I want to remind you in Hebrews 11, 6, you got to have faith. Nothing else is going to please him other than what you believe he can do. And you and I who lead, even preach, have to remind people that I've got to lead you to a place that the only way that it comes together is if God puts it together. I don't need to lead you in what you can already do. I need to lead you in what only he can do. And so you've got to, now without faith, it's impossible to please him. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah 3:15, one of my last scriptural charges to you, and that is, let him give you the heart of a shepherd. He says in Jeremiah, I will give you shepherds who are loyal to me, and they will shepherd you with knowledge and skill. And my prayer over you is all of this. But my personal prayer is, I want people to see when you preach and lead that you have a shepherd's heart more than anything else. I want them to know they're safe with you. So here's some things that I give young preachers who are either on our staff or have grown up in this church and gone elsewhere. Practice what you preach, guys. Life's not on the stage. We can all look good on the stage, but life's not on the stage. It's how you conduct yourself off the stage that matters. I say to a lot of young preachers all the time, and they've heard it, don't let criticism go to your heart. You're going to be criticized. People can look at me and go, well, Jeff needs to be more about end times. Jeff needs to be more political. Jeff needs this. Jeff needs to do that. Jeff needs to be like my podcast preacher. And they're going, why are you not like him? And I'll just be honest with you, I don't want to be a podcast preacher. Okay? My point is, they're out in this audience, God love you all, and I do too, but you all have, well, Jeff needs to do this, Jeff needs to do this, Jeff needs to do that, and here it goes. You're going to hear that too. You're already hearing that. You're going to hear it more, but don't let criticism go to your heart. And then on the other hand, don't let compliments go to your head. He gets the glory. It's what he has put together. So be men of prayer wherever and whenever. I have to say this in the early service. They had been prayed over, which we're going to invite you in a minute to come pray over them. They're going to be in the altar. And you don't need to give them a three-day prayer, okay? You can shorten that. But just give them a blessing. And I thought when people were praying over them that would be it. Well, they all huddled up and started praying. And I was like, I didn't really mean for y'all to take it so seriously that whenever and wherever and often, but it did bless me to be able to see them that they huddled up and they prayed for each other. So be men of prayer. Whenever, wherever, get it done, pray often. And I take this out of my prayer before I preach because I do every one of these intentionally. Every one of these has a story in my life. But you preach to be plain, so plain that a child will hear you and understand you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I know what you have prepared. I know what I have prepared. But listen to the Holy Spirit of God even when you preach. I know James 3:1 says that those of us who teach and preach, we're under a greater judgment. I'm just going to flat out tell you, he expects more out of us than he does other people. So know that when you preach and teach, you're under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody that's listening to you. And then we do all this so that we rightly divide his word. Remember your salvation. Let the Lord affirm and confirm his redeeming power in your life. Often revisit your call of when he called you. Remember his promise, and remember he will empower you and he will lead you through. A vow that I took when I surrendered into ministry, alone in our house at the bathroom sink in our hall bathroom. It doesn't have to be your vow. I just want to tell you what mine was, and my vow in surrendering it to his call was that I would remind people that he loves them, and then I would let them know that I love them too. So don't preach to be heard, preach to be understood. Preach his promises and realize the words of Joshua, the promises of God, are true. I leave this one with you as well. This came from an older pastor, good old country preacher, and he said this to me, and I just want you to know the grammar is really bad, but I'm going to tell it to you the way he told it to me, and I've never forgotten it. To Logan, to Dustin, and to Logan, if you ain't convinced, ain't nobody going to be convinced. You be convinced on what he has called you to do and the message that he has given to you and his promises, so that other people can be convinced too. What we're going to do is we're going to let them find their place in the altar, husband and wife, Logan and Kayla, Logan and Laura, Dustin and Grayson. We're going to let them come and find a place. The team's going to lead us. And it's just random. There's no order, row by row or section by section. But we want you to come and bless them and pray over them. You may want to huddle up with other people. That's fine. You may have to stand in line a little bit. Just be careful navigating around the baptistry here. But we want you to pray a blessing over them and to let them know that you love them. And even you're sending them. Are you listening to me, church? It's we and you. Hope Church is sending them out to preach the gospel. And I wanted you to hear this. I wanted you to see this, and I want you to feel this, that this is something our church is doing together. So I'm going to ask you all to come. Church, would you stand where you are? Tucker is going to lead us. The team is going to lead us. And you come. You come and bless them. Give them a hug. Give them a prayer and give them a blessing today. And let them know of your approval and that we are sending them together. You respond.